How are you guys doing? Good. Well, this is great to be here. This is actually a really big privilege for me. I love Michael and Brenda, and I just love getting able to see through the years of what God's done and what God's building, and just seeing all the different things that have happened and taken place. And so this is a privilege for me to be here and be with you guys and meet new people. And I pastor a church in California, and Minnesota and California are very similar, obviously, and lots of different ways. And so it's just like coming home. But one of the things that I really love, and you know, that I have this huge privilege of getting to do, is seeing just God, you know, moving around the world in all kinds of different ways. And one of the things that's really wonderful is getting to see where people really take our DNA and the things that God has anointed us for and really take it seriously and really run forward. And Michael and Brenda are two of those people. And so for me, it's a huge privilege to be here and be with you and get to see just even so much of what God's done the last few years. So this is wonderful. So I'm going to share this morning because this is Pentecost weekend, and they had asked me to share about the gift and the person of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to do that this morning. I just got to say this, though. I was sitting over there, and I just really felt the Lord's presence come on me for a minute there. And I feel like, and I just want to encourage you in this. I want to encourage you that even if you're visiting this morning, even if you've, you know, never stepped foot in a place like this, or you've known the Lord 30, 40, 50 years, I would really encourage you just to turn your heart towards Jesus right now and let God minister to you and let the Word minister to you and let God encourage but also empower you through His Word this morning, because the Lord is here. And when the Lord is here, I always have the saying, because I just think when the King comes into the room, you kind of put your coffee down. And you just sort of readjust and, you know, realize and recognize. And I feel like the Lord's going to do some wonderful things this morning. And so this is a privilege of us coming together. And I would just really encourage you not to be afraid of it, but more so just to yield to it. Because when the Lord's here, we need Jesus. And we need His presence. And we need that more than anything else. So I will say that more than anything else in this life, what we need when we gather together is we need the presence of the Lord. That's what we need. Everything that we need for life is found in the presence of the Lord. So I'm going to share a bit with you this morning about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the fire of God a bit. I want to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. And I want to talk about some of the ways that the enemy loves to come in and steal God's presence in our lives. One of the things that personally that I've kind of been on this journey in is how do I remain faithful? How do I don't want to just start well, I want to finish well, but I don't want to just finish in a survival mode. Like, I want to finish in a way that I'm on fire for God. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to live your whole life where you are known as somebody that didn't just know God, but really knew God and was marked by God and set on fire by God? And one of the things that I've realized throughout the years is that, you know, this person of the Holy Spirit often operates different than what we think. And just having power encounters is not the things that sustain us. I mean, they're important. These encounters that we have with Christ are so very important. But power is not what sustains us. And even signs and wonders and miracles, those aren't the things that sustain us. You know, even the vineyard starting and, you know, seeing incredible things of what God's done and what God's doing, those things are wonderful, but those aren't the things that sustain us. Traditions and what we come from and things that we, even in the vineyard, we have traditions now. And there's things that we live by. But traditions and all those things, that's actually not the things that sustain us. The scriptures talk about that in our relationship with Christ, that there's this passion that God calls us into, and it's a passion that's actually built on love. The foundation of who we are, why we are, you know, even why we exist is love. So I think the greatest question that we have is not how much do you love Jesus, but do you know how much Jesus loves you? Because when you know how much Jesus loved you, then that's what honestly equips you and empowers you to serve Him well. It's from the place of love. So I want to look out of Romans chapter 12 just a bit here, because Paul's brilliant at laying this down about what this looks like to live in the place of love. And he begins in the beginning of chapter 12, where he talks about from mercy, from the mercy that God's had on our life, from God rescuing us. How many of you have been rescued? Yeah. Others of you need it this morning, I see. We've been rescued. And it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Being rescued is ongoing. Being redeemed, being restored. Restoration is an ongoing thing that we have with Christ. And so Paul talks about that from this place of mercy, that how can we not worship Jesus? Like, how can we not give our lives to him? Because he's rescued us, he saved us, he redeems us, and he continues to restore us. But he gives this foundation, the importance of remembering that it's all founded on love. That Christ, it's out of Christ's great love that he died for us. For God so loved us that he sent his son. He so loves us in every way. He's so in love with us. And really, to live from that place, we cannot talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, without first talking about love, because it's out of his love for us that he even sent us the person, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because he knew that we needed it more than really anything else. So the main role of the Holy Spirit is to bring honor to the Father. It's to glorify the Father. It's to promote the Father. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit glorifies the Father and the Son. That is the main purpose and role of the Holy Spirit. It's not actually for our experience. The Holy Spirit's main call is to bring the Father center stage. So when we have experiences, which are wonderful, needed, I think daily, personally, that when we have these encounters with the Holy Spirit, the whole point, the emphasis, so to speak, is to be on the Father. It's to be on Christ. And if we're not walking away talking about Christ, and if we're not walking away different, then we're missing the point. And so we want to understand why we even celebrate this weekend, Pentecost, the gift, the person of the Holy Spirit coming to us to empower us, empower the church. But it's not just for experience. These encounters that we have with Christ, these experiences that we have with Christ are to draw us closer into intimacy, into love, really, with the Father. And so in Romans chapter 12, where Paul's laying this foundation, and he talks about mercy, he talks about worship, and he's talking about living, being a living sacrifice from this place of worship, that from that place is what we find what we're made for and why God has even created us, and stepping into our role and stepping into God's will for our life. And then he begins to address this whole thing, that the importance of the love being the foundation, and how love needs to be sincere, and that we are loved, but we're loved to love. So even when we step into our role, even when we step into our calling, the foundation, actually all ministry, especially when we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit, all ministry is to be founded on and motivated by love. That's the reason really for everything. And so Paul addresses that, and Paul addresses that we're to cling to the things that are good. And from this place, we serve the Lord. This is literally what and who we are, that God places his fire upon us. And this verse in chapter 12, Paul says this, from this place of love, that we're never to be lacking in zeal, but keeping our spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. So it's founded on all those things that Paul has mentioned, but he uses this word fervor, which actually translated, it's not properly sort of giving a big picture of really the power of what this word fervor means. Because translated, it means a blaze, but it means a seething white hot. And it means that as a believer, Christ in you, that you are literally marked by Christ. And in that, You're to be on fire. You're to be seething hot. That's the place of where we actually serve the Lord. That's the place of actually where we go forward from our place of worship. So the mark on us as the church is fire. There's over 30 religions actually that involve fire. So it's interesting that God himself, you know, reveals himself on as fire. There's this metaphor about fire, you know, that it's beautiful. And it can be overwhelming, but it's also very dangerous. It's also very elusive. We find through the scriptures where time and again that the example of fire, that God uses the example of fire. Moses with the burning bush that was in the fire. The Israelites who were led by the fire at night. The Solomon's dedication at the temple was actually by fire. Elisha asked God to reveal himself when he had the standoff between the false prophets and Baal and God. And Elisha asked for God's fire to come down to reveal himself. God, reveal yourself as fire, which is what God did on that standoff. And then we find in the New Testament, we find John the Baptist who said, you know, I can baptize you with water, but one is coming who's going to baptize you with fire. So the mark of the believer actually is fire. God has marked us by fire. We ourselves are marked by fire. And it's not of the Spirit, it's in the Spirit. So this is very important. This is not something that we just visit. This is actually something that we live in. The person of the Holy Spirit is somebody that we're building, that we're cultivating relationship with, that we're in the fire, but then we reflect the fire. You can't reflect something that you're not in. And so this is a picture, you know, some of you that you know the Father. In fact, it says a lot about who you are and your relationship with God by who you pray to. So, you know, if you pray to the Father, if you pray to the Son, Jesus, or you pray to the Holy Spirit. And in our relationship with Christ, we're called to build and cultivate a relationship with all three, with the Father, with the Son, but then also with the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a more. It's a person. And so just as relationship with any other person, this is somebody that God says, I want you to build relationship with him. So you got to think about this. God could have put anything in the middle of the earth and said, now this massive angel or this massive being, this is the person that I want you to go to. But he didn't do that. He said, I want you to build relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, Old Testament Holy Spirit was the place of visitation. So the Holy Spirit was somebody that you would go visit. You would go to the temple. You would take your family to the tabernacle. You would get washed of your sins and you would encounter the Holy Spirit. That's Old Testament. It's the place that you would go and visit. New Testament, us now being under the New Testament, when we accept Christ, we now become the place of visitation. God's Spirit is now in you. The fire is now in you. And so everywhere you go, that's what you carry. That's what you're marked by. And that's the person of the Holy Spirit that you're building relationship with. John Wimber used to say this, my father-in-law. He used to say, I don't trust any leader that doesn't walk with a limp and smell like fire. Like it is what marks us as the church. Acts 2, the church, the first church that we celebrate this weekend was marked by fire. It talks about that when God's Spirit came, that it fell on everyone. That there's this picture that when God's Spirit comes, it intervenes, it changes everything. That it was once one way and now it's totally different. We find that all through the scripture. We find that in our own life. We find where the scriptures talk about when the Holy Spirit comes, that it will fall on all people, men, women, and children. It's all inclusive. So this is the great encouragement for you today. This is for all of us. There's nobody left outside of the gospel message. There's nobody left outside of God's invitation. And this is an invitation because in the kingdom of God, God's always initiating invitations. So this is another invitation to us today. Will we accept this invitation to build our relationship with Christ? Will we accept Christ? And in that, will we accept all of who Christ is? And we find that when the Holy Spirit, when we say yes to God, when we say yes to the invitation, that's what changes everything. And the first church, that's what changed everything, is God's Spirit came and it changed what was into what now will be. And it's interesting because, you know, up until the fourth century, the church was known as being marked by fire. They were known because they would get these revelations from God by the Spirit. You can't get revelation outside of the Spirit of God. They would get this revelation from God, and they were known for it. They were known by these encounters that we have for God. But New Testament, like even now, you know, we kind of have these short visitations. We sort of have these encounters with God over here, over there. The church actually is all over the place when it talks about the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's completely different than it was in the beginning and the early days of the church. What God initiated has changed so much over the years. But when God initiates something, he sees it to fruition. And this whole being marked by God's Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit is something, it's a gift to us. And just like any gift, you have a choice on whether or not you're going to unwrap and use the gift. And so much of the church has chosen not to. When the vineyard started, we were birthed by the Holy Spirit, but we were birthed by the Holy Spirit because we just got to the end of ourselves. It wasn't like this great, we know everything. It was basically when you get to the end of yourself, now God can use you. Now God can fill you. When we're getting to the place where we're not trying to hold on or grasp everything else around us, and we're, you know, getting to the end of ourselves, so to speak, that's like the place that's most powerful. When you're weakest in the flesh, actually, you can be strongest in the spirit. And we don't like to be weak, do we? And what we're called to, what we're invited into, is this call actually of weakness, so that we can walk by the Spirit, in the Spirit. And of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the great initiator of the church, but he's also the great initiator of relationship, and he's also the great initiator of invitations that are ongoing, where God wants to take us someplace that we've never been to before. And if you look at the early church, none of those guys had been to seminary. None of those guys really knew that much. But God's Spirit came upon them, and what became the 12, you know, comes the 72, then comes the 120, and then comes to you and I. This is the same invitation. We have access to the same power. It's the same person. The Holy Spirit back then is the same Holy Spirit today. Psalm 104:4 says this. It says that God makes the winds his messengers and the servants flames of fire. That's you. Like, if Christ is in you, you are a flame. You are a servant of fire. This isn't a myth. This isn't something that we're like trying to figure out, grasp. This is like something that's been ordained by God. The person of the Holy Spirit that is the one that comes to restore us, comes to redeem us, comes to equip us, comes to convict us, and comes to lead us and guide us in ways that we would not be able to live rightly otherwise. And it's interesting that God would even reveal himself as fire, because fire is one of those things that you can't fake. Like, you can't fake being on fire, can you? And when you're on fire, you don't have to tell everybody you're on fire. Like, listen, if you're on fire, we know it. And God's saying that as the believer, you are called and you are marked by his fire. In other words, if people have to guess you're a Christian, there's something wrong. Because the mark of the believer is that there's this fire in us. Something is marked in us that we're walking forward in the Spirit of the living God. And it is the most attractive thing that people are dying for. So the Holy Spirit is not an adornment that we just sort of add at the end of church, or we just sort of add onto something that we're doing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not for sale. It's not like this extra thing. It's not for our entertainment. The Holy Spirit is a person to be respected. And in respecting him, that he comes and he empowers us and redeems us and restores us, all of those things. So we have a responsibility in this, because God says that he gives us the person of the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility not to allow that fire, that fervency actually to go out in us. That is our responsibility. In the book of Leviticus, it says in chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "The altar before God is meant to keep burning." In other words, God will light the altar, but it's your responsibility to keep it lit. Like, it's not just going to happen. Too many believers just go through life. There's a great theologian that says lots of people have saved souls but lost lives. They just wander through life. But God says, listen, I've given you my Spirit, but you do have a responsibility tied to it. I mean, I run into people all the time that are like, I just want the favor of God. I just want God's favor all over me. And I just listen. But the thing is, favor is a wonderful thing, but with favor comes great responsibility. And you cannot have more of the Holy Spirit. There's always a price tag to power. There's always a price tag to something that has a value to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be valuable. And our responsibility is to actually keep the fire of God lit to us. Paul said it to young Timothy when he was training young Timothy. And he said to Timothy, he said, you know what, Timothy, you got gifts in you, but it's actually your responsibility to keep the flame of those gifts going. Fan those gifts into flame. That's our responsibility. There's a great old Puritan prayer that says this: "Oh, that I could be a flame of fire in thy service, always burning out in one continual blaze." Great prayer, just to be reminded of that. So God will answer when we ask. If we seek him, we will find him. But to seek him more is to find him more. And therefore, in that place is where he touches us and renews that fire again so that we can remain lit, so to speak. So we want to look at the things that actually, where the enemy comes in and tries to steal God's fire in our life, because it is a practical thing. And the way that this works, really, the enemy uses the same stuff he used thousands of years ago, because it still works. He doesn't even have to change his tactics. Like, it still works. The enemy still attacks you in the same ways that he's always attacked you, because it still works. And as long as it works, why change your methods? So we got to know, like, how the enemy comes in and attacks us, because the enemy will always come in, and this is how he's operated with the Holy Spirit. The enemy will always come in, and he'll go after what has the most potential to change you and what has the most potential to change the people around you. And there's nothing more powerful than a person yielded to the Spirit of God. There is nothing more powerful when somebody says, you know what, God, change me. Move on me. That's revival, by the way. Revival is when we recognize our sin. Revival is when God moves on us, and all of a sudden, when God's moving on me, I'm not like real, you know, quick to notice what's wrong with everybody else. I'm quick to notice what's wrong with Christy. I'm too busy looking at me. I don't even know how people have time to look at everybody else, to be frankly honest with you. I mean, the thing is, I have so much of my own stuff. Real revival is when we have this encounter with God and the power of his Spirit begins to reveal stuff to us that actually isn't right. That's revival. And so there's things that the enemy will come in, he'll try to shut this down in your life, because I'm telling you, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a person that's making a difference, not just in your life, but in the lives of the people around you. And one of the things that the enemy uses time and time again is that he loves to use distractions. Just the normal distractions of life. We get so busy with life that all of a sudden our priorities of being with the Lord, or just having a short devotion, or just even talking to Jesus, or just inviting God's Spirit to come in and lead us for the day. We get so busy with life. It doesn't have to be sin. It could just be busy life. You know what I'm talking about? Just the distractions of life love to steal God's Spirit in us. Just the everyday busyness, just when fishing season opens. Things like that, real practical. Another area that I've seen through the years, been heartbreaking, is where the enemy comes in and just, you know, attacks people. It is how he operates. He attacks people. People have said to me, I'm so tired of the battle. When is this battle going to be over? And pastoral, being the loving pastoral person that I am, I say, when you're dead. When you're dead, the enemy will leave you alone. But until then, you're going to be in battle. And in battle, the enemy will try to discourage you, and he will try to distract you, and he will attack you. In fact, if you don't have any attacks, there's something wrong. Opposition is actually a good sign for the believer. It is a sign that you're doing something right. If I don't have opposition in my life, I get nervous. That tells you how weird I am. Like, if I don't have, like, real opposition. Opposition brings me peace, because it just shows, oh, I'm onto something. Oh, the enemy must not want me to do that. And there's attack and a counterattack and all of this. But I've seen it where it's killed people's walk with the Holy Spirit, because it's just weighed them down for whatever reason. The Spirit-filled believer, we have to remain Spirit-filled so that we can recognize and discern how the enemy comes after us. You can't recognize, you can't discern actually something outside of the Spirit of God. You can't resist what you can't see. And being in the Spirit of God, that's what empowers you. That's what shows you what the enemy's doing. It keeps you out of the third thing, which is deception. So many people get deceived because they started to choose a life by busyness, distractions, just everyday whatever choices, taking them outside of a God Spirit-led life. And all of a sudden, they begin to believe things that aren't true. They begin to get deceived. And the last person to know you're deceived is you. That's how deception works. When you're alone, you're brilliant. And when you're alone, everything you hear is amazing. Even revelation, like you're hearing from, when you're alone, because there's nobody to say to you, you know what, that's crazy. What are you doing? The thing that keeps us out of deception is community. That's the way God set it up. You've got to have people in your life that love you enough and have enough courage to come alongside and just say, you know what, that's a huge elephant in your room. And the thing that you're believing is actually not the Lord. The only way that you and I stay in freedom and stay out of deception is when we have people around us that love us enough to tell us the truth. That is the way it is. That's the way that God has set it up. And the enemy loves to deceive. It's how he operates. It's devil 101. He loves to deceive us because he is the great deceiver. He's the great deceiver and he's a great accuser. So the enemy, not every thought you have is yours, by the way. And so we have these thoughts. And then the enemy says, if you're a real Christian, you wouldn't even think like that. And so we think, well, I already thought about it, so I might as well do it. And then the enemy who comes in, who's the great accuser, says, see, if you're a real Christian, you never would have even thought that, let alone do it. But that's his job. His job is to accuse. That's why as the church, anytime we put ourselves in a position of being the accuser, we've sided with the wrong place, the wrong kingdom. Because accusation is how the enemy operates. But it steals the presence of God in us more than anything else. It really does take us outside of freedom. It's impossible to live the spirit-filled life as Christ has intended if we're living in deception. So Paul's saying, from this place of relationship, now I'm just going to tell you, everything that has been set up to live a life powerful in the Spirit of God has to do with our relationships. It has to do with the people that God has placed around you. Not the people that you think you want around you. But it's the people that God has placed around you. Because more than anything else, the things that will cause you to grow up and the things that will challenge you and the things that are bug you is relationship. It's your family. It's your friends. It's people that say the wrong thing. And what Paul's saying is actually relationships and how God operates in his spirit with us is don't be surprised by those things. Because in relationship, you're going to have conflict. In relationship, you know, we're going to have hardship. But it's in relationship that we have to learn to honor, because in the Holy Spirit, there's an honoring, there's a protective of relationship. And so we have to be careful how we walk this out. Because if you're a marked person, it's not just getting the Spirit of God, it's being a container with the Spirit of God. So this is a daily living. And so there's things that the enemy will go after. And there's two things that God says to us that are very important, that are our responsibility on how to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And there's two things that you and I can do that we can actually, you know, take God's Spirit out of our life. And the first thing it has to do that we have the power to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, he's a person. So in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about verse 30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. So here, this is a picture that in our relationship with God and in our relationship with each other, that actually we have the power to grieve the Spirit of God. Sometimes we wonder, how come I don't feel God? Or how come it feels like God's not with me? Well, the question is, have you grieved him? How are you treating your spouse? How are you treating your neighbor? How are you treating your friend? Because at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. I mean, if my husband hurts my feelings, I don't necessarily want to be with him. I don't want to be by him. I don't want to be in the same room until he recognizes how wrong he is. And then I want to have relationship again. But you have the power. You have the power to actually grieve the Holy Spirit by how you treat people. And so Paul's saying in Ephesians, he's saying, it's okay. Anger's not a sin, actually. But if you empower that anger, it's going to give birth to a bitterness. And that bitterness is actually going to give form to resentment. And that will actually steal God's presence in you. In other words, you're doing an exchange. You cannot be a bitter person and be filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. You cannot hold on to unforgiveness and be somebody who walks in power. It is not the way that it works. That's why I decided years ago, I would rather be a person filled with the Spirit of God than be right. Because most of the time, you cannot be right and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to let it go. It's sort of like, no, this is most important to me. I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You have to make that decision. It's a daily decision. Some of you are in situations where, I'm just going to tell you this, you will have opportunity your entire life to forgive people. So don't worry. If you don't have anybody to forgive right now, you'll have somebody on the way out of church to forgive. That's just the way that it works. We will have opportunity our whole life to forgive. And if you make forgiveness an option, it's going to be an option. And if you make that an option, you're actually going to empower it. And if you empower it, it's going to give birth to bitterness. But it's going to steal God's presence in you. And as the believer, this is what you're supposed to live with in being a spirit-filled, you know, Christian. And you can't do that with unforgiveness and bitterness. In verse 26 here, it talks about that don't let that anger, don't give it a foothold. Don't even think about it. Don't even dream about it. Don't fantasize about that stuff because it will change your life. It will hurt you from the inside out. And so we're meant to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, that means we're filled with something else. So any area of our life that the Spirit of God is not inhabiting us, that means something else has taken its place. So a lot of times in church and coming before the Lord, we're like, Lord, I want more of you. I want you to inhabit me. I want you to invade me. I want you to, you know, I want you to. But the truth is, if you pray those things like, Lord, invade me, he will invade you. He has no problem pushing on things in your heart and in your life that you didn't even know were there. And when he does that, you got to be quick to respond. Because again, you're making an exchange. You're making a choice. I'd rather have the Spirit of God. God's Spirit on us is for empowerment. God's Spirit is on us so that we can actually forgive. It takes God to do everything, by the way. Even forgive. It takes God to love God. It takes God to serve God. It takes God to move in God. It takes God for everything in this life. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. It says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, because this is a byproduct of God's Spirit working within us, we become more and more like him and we reflect his glory all the more. So a byproduct of God's Spirit in us is we want to let go of those things that have held us back. The second thing that Paul talks about is in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, and it talks about that actually we have the power to quench God's Spirit. So we can grieve God's Spirit, but we can also quench God's Spirit. And it says that we're not to put out the Spirit's fire. Again, if you read through the chapter, it talks about, it's really all relational stuff. And it talks about that our focus should be on encouraging each other and loving each other and building each other up and helping the weaker ones and the people that are more timid. And that's really our focus. That's where our focus should be. And when it's not there, then we get caught up in petty arguments. And we have this power when we get caught up in petty arguments. We're basically stopping the flow of God's Spirit in our life. So that word quench there actually means to stop the flow of. So this is a picture. I want you to catch this morning, because when God's Spirit comes on you and in you, now the choices that you make, you can literally stop God from flowing through your life. And the person of the Holy Spirit is someone that comes to you and then flows through you. But something can't flow through you if it doesn't come to you first. And the choices that you make actually put God at a distance. And many times we don't have more of God's Spirit because we're holding on to things that we have exchanged instead of having more of God. So we don't want to stop the flow of God's Spirit in us. And I think that we have to get to the place that as long as it depends on me, I want more of the Holy Spirit. I choose more of God. I want to let go of this thing. This thing is killing me. This thing is taking me out. I want more of God's Spirit. For myself, I've just found that there's lots of things that I would love to do. But in my spirit, I just have a check. And it's just not worth it. At the end of the day, it's just not worth it. If it's going to take something that's precious to me, it's not worth it. And one of the prayers that I prayed long ago, especially when the person, the gift of the Holy Spirit is, I pray, Lord, I want to recognize that if I'm a carrier of your presence, that I want to recognize that when I say something or when I do something, does your spirit lift? If you're inside of me and I'm doing something that's not right, can I recognize that? Because Romans talks about that as God's child, as the children of God, we're led by the Spirit of God, which means that there's times, have you ever walked into a place and you just feel like it's not right? As a child of God, you're supposed to recognize those things. I want to get to the place, you want to get to the place where it's sort of like we say something, we react, we respond in anger and bitterness or whatever, and then all of a sudden we feel this shift in us like, oh, something's changed. Like my relationship with the Lord, I could tell there that actually what I'm doing is not right. That's really the picture of what Paul's giving to us, that as a believer, that we get to that place and we can recognize that where God has Spirit has left, is lifted or whatever, that we recognize that because of our relationship with Christ. So it's good to remember that God's Spirit is in us, but we also have to learn to recognize when God's Spirit is lifting or changing or shifting. But his Spirit for us, it's not just for signs and wonders, it is to convict. So that is one of the ways that we know, is that God begins to convict us of things. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction, by the way. Condemnation is never the Lord. If you're a believer and you feel condemnation in any way, that's never the Lord. What God does and by his Spirit is that he convicts us and he shows us. That's actually mercy. So if God's convicting you of something, he's saying, what you're doing, I have something better for you. So let go of that thing, release that thing. And this is one of the things that I've always sort of said in relationship. I don't want to allow my unmet or my sort of unrealistic expectations of somebody, of how I think they should be, how I think they should act, or whatever it is I think they should do, steal more of God's presence from me. You have to be willing to make that decision yourself. So again, Paul says, you know, that you have to keep ablaze. You have to keep this fervency inside of you because this is our service to the Lord. So this, in my response to the Lord, I'm going to let go of this unforgiveness. In my response to the Lord, I'm not going to live in bitterness. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm not going to let the past dictate my future. In my service to the Lord, when the first church began, what we celebrate this weekend, and they're waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says to them, one is coming, and you're going to need this more than anything else. When the Holy Spirit came, that's what changed everything. But in the first chapter of Acts, we find where the church is waiting for this gift, this person of the Holy Spirit. And then it says in verse 8, it says that you're going to receive power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come on you, but that power comes on you to be a witness. So lots of times we think, oh, the Holy Spirit's for signs and wonders. No, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit on us is to be a witness. His Spirit empowers us, I'll just tell you, to be nice, to be kind. Do you know that that's what Jesus was known more for than anything else? In Acts chapter 10, it talks about that he went around doing acts of kindness, releasing people from under the oppression of the devil. I think, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need God's power just to be nice. But his power comes to us, and it's power for a purpose. And if you don't use that power for the right purpose, you lose the power. It's to be a witness. Because the power of God, you and I cannot be what we need to be to this dying world around us without God's living Spirit within us. It's just impossible. It is impossible to live right. It is impossible to see truth. It is impossible to say no to the enemy's temptations without the living Spirit of God within us. It just doesn't work. And so God's Spirit comes upon us, but it's to be a witness. And so witnessing isn't about an argument. So many people confuse it. Witnessing is not about an argument. Witnessing is about being a model. You are modeling who Jesus is. This is not about arguing the kingdom or the gospel to people. This is about your life being filled with the Holy Spirit is a model in itself, which where people say, that's what I want. What you have is what I need. I can't explain it. I don't get it. But what you are, that's what I need. That's what God's saying here. His Spirit comes upon us and it makes us something that we weren't, you know, before, that we didn't have the power to do before. The word witness here, we actually get from the word martyrian, which actually means to testify. It does mean to witness, but it also means to martyr. In other words, to have a true encounter with the living God is to say, you know what, Lord, I'm done with me. I'm done doing my own way. I'm done holding on to this unforgiveness. I'm done being bitter. I'm done living in the past. I belong to you. That's what it looks like to encounter the Spirit of God. It's not a negotiation. God's not in the negotiation business. True encounters with God are the encounters that actually cause us to want to lay our life down for the people around us. That's what the Spirit of God is for. If you're having trouble serving God, then you go back and you yield yourself to the Spirit of God because that's what empowers you. Just trying harder, thinking harder, you know, trying to change behavior never works. It's only by turning, shifting, redirecting your worship and allowing yourself to be yielded to the Spirit of God where all of those things begin to change. You cannot forgive without the Spirit of God. You cannot let go without the Spirit of God. We find it all through the scriptures where God's Spirit made the ordinary become the extraordinary. We find Apollos actually in Acts 18 where it talks about where he was instructed in the way of the Lord, but he also had this fervent, use the same word fervent, where it is God's fire was on him and it changed everything. We find Peter, you know, who was always, you know, getting in trouble for his mouth. Peter, who honestly couldn't communicate very great, and would get in front of these people, and it talks about where the Holy Spirit came on him. And when the Holy Spirit came on him, 3,000 people got saved. That's God's spirit. This is not about us and our own power. This is only in the spirit of the living God that we even can, you know, be a change to the people around us. We find it all through the scriptures. But the amazing thing is this is what God has for us today. He says, this person, the Holy Spirit, is for us today. You know, and we have to make a decision. Am I going to choose this or, you know, what I want to hold on to, or my unforgiveness, my bitterness, my need to be right all the time? Or am I going to have more of God's spirit? It all comes down to choice. Amen? Amen. Once you stand, let's do some ministry this morning. If you don't mind, you might be visiting here this morning. I just want to tell you, this actually isn't going to hurt you, okay? And the thing I like about this church is that, man, it just goes dark. So you basically, I mean, you could pray, you could sob, you could do it. Nobody even sees you. So, I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it? The only person you see is me. But I just want you to put your hand over your heart for a minute, okay? Because it's really important. I like to do this because the enemy's a thief, right? He's not a robber. He loves to come in. He loves to steal God's word inside of us. And lots of times God will speak something to us and he'll remind us about it later. And the enemy loves to come in and steal that stuff of what God's doing inside of us. So I'm just going to pray for God's word over our spirit this morning. Not going to hurt you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we thank you for what we celebrate today, Lord. We thank you for the person, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you knew that we would need a counselor, that we would need one who would guide us, that we would need one who would comfort us. So, Lord, we thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth, Lord. We thank you for the truth, Lord, that it is you, that when you mark us, Lord, that you also empower us to live rightly. We thank you, Lord, that you say in Ezekiel that you give us your spirit to obey you. Lord, that you give us your spirit to say yes to you in areas that we need to say yes to you in. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your spirit that empowers us to forgive and to let go of the past. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you'd seal your word over us this morning. May it go deep, Lord. Remind us of things later. Challenge us with it. Equip us with it. Encourage us with it. I'm just going to wait for a minute because I just want to, you know, one of the things that we value is we value giving room to allow God to come and minister to us. It's very important because the church getting together is that we come together to worship the King and recognize the King, but we're also coming together to get empowered and equipped and get ministered to. And the Lord wants to minister to many of you this morning. And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you'd show us what you want to do this morning. I'm just going to wait a minute. Just relax. The thing is about the Holy Spirit is that he's already at work. He's already here. He's already showing you things. So whatever the Lord's showing you right now, then you just, between you and the Lord, you give those things. You just begin to give those things to the Lord, whether it be unforgiveness, whether it be your past. Some of you in here, you need to forgive yourself. You know, the enemy loves to torment. So he loves to torment us in areas where we feel like they never change and that what God has for somebody else, he doesn't have for us. I'm just going to tell you that's a lie. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd reveal those lies this morning. And, Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Now, there's There's somebody here, and you've hurt, this is a side note, that you've hurt your hip, and I just feel like the Lord wants to minister to that this morning. So you literally have hurt your hip, where there's a couple things. One of is that I'm seeing sometimes, like when we go before the Lord, he just gives us pictures or words or shows us things, and sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not. But I think that there's someone here. You have a hip condition, but I'm seeing it must be arthritis, and like there's these deposits or something that's all around it, and it's making it quite painful. I just feel like we're supposed to pray for you this morning. Also, I just feel like for ministry right now, like the Lord is showing you things that you need to let go of, that you need to create space for more of God's Spirit instead of what you're holding on to. And I feel like, you know, this is one of those things that we need to come alongside you and minister to you. So all ministry is ministry is just coming alongside and blessing what God's already doing. So God's already at work this morning. So we're just recognizing that, and we're coming alongside, and we're blessing what he's doing. So if there's any area that's coming up, I want you to start coming forward. Like, you know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, just respond. Just respond. We move our feet and we pray for each other. If you're on the ministry team, would you just come up right now too and just stand here? So it's a lot easier to come up when you see somebody's here to pray for you. I feel like there's some of us who have had so much teaching against the Holy Spirit, or an absence of teaching of the Holy Spirit from different backgrounds, that we even kind of feel some resistance, or we oppose that. Even a spirit of religion, where you grew up with lots of rules, and God wants this and God wants that, but there was no way for you to cultivate a relationship with the Spirit that wasn't talked about. That could have left you with some unwanted spirits of religion or legalism, and that stuff opposes the Holy Spirit. So if that's you, and I know that's in our culture, where we live from our church backgrounds, I want to invite you to come up as well right now. So why don't you just begin to come? We're not going to manipulate. We just want you to respond to God. So come on up right now. We'll wait. I know that you're here. Last night we prayed for lots and lots of people. And physical healing, we love to pray for that. Don't walk in and out of here the same if you're hurting or if you need physical prayer. Bless you guys.
Yeah, so listen, you need prayer this morning. If you leave without getting prayer, you're going to regret it. So come and get prayer. There's some of you where you really feel like you're infected with bitterness and you cannot let go. And you're actually afraid to let go because you feel like you're letting somebody off the hook. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is actually a gift to yourself. And that it's a freedom thing. And if you want more of God's Spirit, you got to get rid of that thing, because I'm telling you, it will eat you from the inside out if you don't. Mm-hmm. And there's two couples here. And you've remarried to each other, but you come from obviously a divorce. And in that, there's some residue that the Lord wants to heal this morning. And I would encourage you to come and get prayer. I would encourage you to have the Lord come and minister to you this morning. Just come on up. Nobody's going to judge you. It's just to encourage you. There are some other people you're trapped by some things, and you just feel like you can't get free, and you feel powerless within it. And this is the thing. You will not be able to stop those things, doing those things, without the Spirit of God. You have to yield to the Spirit of God. And I know that whole thinking of, I'll just do this on my own. This is one of those things where you actually need somebody to come alongside you to minister to you, because there's an act in it that God teaches us, that when we do that, it loses its power. So my encouragement to you would be to come forward. Just come forward and just say, listen, I need prayer in this area. I'm just struggling. I need to get rid of this thing. It's a torment to me. Come on. If you're really tormented, you'll want to get rid of it. You cannot do life. None of us can, without the Spirit of God. We cannot do things in our own power. It does not work.
I think there's at least three people I sense in the room who have no relationship with God. You're seeking a relationship with God, but you've never started that. You've never had a personal relationship, but you have looked at other people. You have seen God in their life, and you know that it's working. And so we would love to just share how you can start that personal relationship with God and anyone up here can help do that as well, and just pray as you just surrender your life and say, yeah, here I am, God. I do want to have a relationship with you. All right, we're going to continue to worship here while we pray for a little bit. Just feel free to kind of settle in and into the presence and just stay in this window where God is, just pouring his heart out on us for as long as you'd like. Thank you so much just for being with us. God bless you guys.
Yeah, there's one other person that you feel like you got taken advantage of. Somebody took some money from you. And you just had a hard time letting go of that. And just feel like, hey, listen, come get ministry this morning. Come get that lifted off of you. Lord, we bless your spirit here. We bless what you're doing. We pray, Lord, that you would seal the work of your hand. Lord, that by the power of your spirit, Lord, that you would free us. Lord, that you would deliver us. Lord, that you would meet us this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would do all of that and more. We bless your spirit in here. I bless your spirit, Lord, all across this room. Bless your people as they leave today. In Jesus' name. Amen.